Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we dive into unique strategies and stories to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow. Today, I have a leader in a very hot topic, AI, and I can't wait to dive into what is happening in the landscape. He's got some really great vision for where it could go. And so welcome, Michael Ostapenko.
Thank you, Melinda.
Hi, Michael, founder of Satrix.
Yeah.
Satrix, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us, what are you excited about? Like, what is the vision that you want to take it?
So my vision is to create a system, like an artificial intelligence system, which would be able to produce results which are both meaningful and have sense. This is like today's systems, they are more restricted to the limit or limited to the former, which is the meaning. They're good at semantics, but they really, really bad at logic and logical reasoning. So that's when you like use chatbots like ChatGPT or anything else like bot, you can see that the output they produce it's really meaningful. It has these connections which are very natural, but at the same time it sometimes makes these subtle errors, which an expert can notice, but which may go unnoticed by like general population, that which is why it's so popular but in general population, but not so much adopted by companies and businesses. It's not really reliable. And the real problem for that is the technology, the underlying technology. The neural networks in general, no matter what architecture they have, no matter what algorithms, optimization algorithms you use to train this network, no matter like what other like primitives which are used in these networks you use, they never be able to reason logically, because it's just not what they do mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just impossible. Now, it's possible to create a system which somehow incorporates neural network. And there are various like ways to do it. But the point is, if you do like, then you can leverage this neural network's ability to model semantics and to somehow converge it with this formal system's ability to do like rigid, logical, reliable reasoning and analysis. And when you merge these two, you kind of get the intelligence, the actual intelligence,
mm-hmm.
that we humans possess.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's my vision for the artificial intelligence, for the future of the artificial intelligence. And I'm not convinced that we're there yet. I mean, or will be there in the near future. In my opinion, there are like many pieces which are still missing. But having said that, there are still like patterns which start to emerge.
Well, I'm curious if you start to create something like that is a mimicking like the like you're saying it's mimicking the human brain, but even probably more powerful because
I would rather like not use like this
analogy.
anthropomorphisms, because I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea whether it will mimic human brain, whether this model will mimic human brain or not, or even let's say human intelligence as a product of human brain or brain as activity, right? But I'm quite confident that the result, the output of such a system would be like pretty much indistinguishable from what human intelligence produces.
Okay, so that's my fear. That's my fear because like we don't know what we're creating and we don't know on its own what it's gonna do.
Oh, so
This intelligence, like just like AI.
right. So, I wouldn't fear about that. So this is like another concept, actually. People usually like mix up this, and so the you're talking about like agency and the ability for like a machine to take actions which are like beneficial to it.
Which are yeah, I'm talking about the intelligence, the AI intelligence, let's just call it that, to start to do things that we're not programming it to do because it's starting to
It's not gonna happen.
create networks on its own.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's more for sci-fi story.
Really?
Yes, it's not gonna happen. As I said, like in order for it, like you can program it like to make something that works the way you describe, like, right? But you still be the one who programs it. Now, frankly speaking, this agency thing, it's in some sense you can argue it's emergent, but on the other hand, it's really not, because what's the motivation for? There won't be like real motivation for intelligence, these artificial intelligence systems, to do anything. Because simply because it's more of a feature of a life of life. Life is what basically drives us, gives us motivation, and intelligence is a tool which life uses to achieve goals, to basically reproduce, to prolong its existence. So when we are talking about these artificial intelligence systems, we aren't talking about life. At least I'm not.
Got it.
So these systems will lack this inherent motivation, just like modern artificial intelligence systems, neural networks, lacks this ability to logically reason. It's just impossible to add this ability to neural networks, like directly, like that. And it's impossible to add motivation like this agency to artificial intelligence, because it's not a property of intelligence. It's a property of life, more property of life than intelligence.
Got it. Got it. So you're saying that it doesn't lack the sense of, it's a separate thing. It's a separate thing to be able to have the motivation to do something that it's not.
Yeah, it's a separate thing. It's
Yeah.
a separate it, like from the philosophical perspective, like there was like a philosopher, I think Kant, he described these things in its in themselves, idea, and it's basically when you define something which cannot be like defined in other terms, like right.
Right.
So that's the situation. We are when we go into this area of intelligence and things like that, these are like very fundamental things, and very often they can't like be one thing can't be expressed as another. It's just
Yeah.
impossible.
Well,
So you
what if
need both.
because I saw a documentary about the they were programming some robots to just play sports. Like they were two robots that were playing against each other for the goal is to is soccer. Like the two robots are playing soccer, and the goal is for each of the players to get a goal, like to hit the ball into the goalie, and then so that's the game. And then they said the AI robots were playing and they only programmed one goal to get the ball into the goalie. But then over time, when they started to play each other, they started to form neural networks. Oh, this worked. This got me a goal. This didn't. And then over time, like they started to create patterns that then, therefore, they started to do some other things because they were trying to figure out one problem to solve over another. And it became a different type of. The original goal got skewed. So then they're saying that that's how could be possibility of when they start to solve different, continue on to build on each other.
Yeah, I hear you, and I remember this story, which appeared like not long after this appearance of the I think GPT 3.5 or something, that there was like some kind of Pentagon experiments with AI, where they had like these drones flying, and they had this objective to and hit the target or something like that, and then that's how they scored, and that's how their reward functions work. So the more they hit, the more the reward they get, and that was the goal, right? And then at some point the operator, the human operator, said like for whatever reason that do not execute. And the like the artificial intelligence system like decided like it's still a reward for it, right? So what it did, like destroyed the communication tower connected to the operator and still hit the target.
Exactly. That's what I'm see that the it's doing. That's what it does. It could be possible.
I mean, well, it's not possible with the current systems. It's definitely out of reach. It's a fairy tale. But say if we like do this thought experiment that we have like this intelligence which is quite powerful to do more than what is currently possible, and it's given that goal. Then, well, and it's given the let's say physical means to achieve that goal. Yeah, I mean technically it's possible for it to, and it can learn on its own
On its own.
on the go, right?
Right.
So in order to achieve that goal, it could like experiment and things like that.
Yep.
And can it can do something like that? Yeah, technically it's possible, but there and this is like re really big but. I mean, in the real world, if something like that like happens, like there is like a deviation from what's expected in human society, it will be noticed right away. Just like you notice what if some person does this. So it's gonna be punished, right?
Yeah.
So
As long as we
technically,
know how, as long as we know how.
yeah, I mean, and then yes, that's another story, from a sci-fi movie, which is depicts these artificial intelligent beings like with human looking bodies, but who possesses ability to think in such a complex and deviant ways that no human can possibly outsmart them and prevent them from reaching their goals. Sure. But then you need to think about that, the this goal. You're the one who's setting this goal, and you're the one who's limiting or giving this system the capacity, physical capacity to achieve that goal. So at the end of the day, responsibility is still on you if something goes wrong.
Yes.
Because if the system doesn't have the capacity to achieve that goal, even if it technically can learn something like that, it won't be able to do that, and it won't even be able to learn to do that because it just lacks the capacity. And you need to also consider other factors like energy and things like that, because we as humans, we accustomed to think that here we come, we think, and the machine will go and think and do things like that the same way. But there is like energy constraints. We need to eat, we need to breathe, and things like that. Now, you put a battery into a robot. How long will it last? You put some kind of chip into a robot to execute those complex algorithms and or computations over this neural network. For how long will it last for it to be able to produce these superior results? Now you can say, why it can outsource it to some data center. Yeah, but this is physical network connection. It's always controlled, right? The data center is also the consumption of electricity, the data center, the consumption of resource, computational resources, and data center. It's all controlled. It's all under surveillance. If there are any deviations, and how it will even use it, if it's it has to pay for it. Who's gonna pay for it? I mean, if you start thinking and going really deep into all these things, you'll see that it's impracticable for something like that to happen. And that's actually what life kind of is about. It's about complexity, and that's why things like we've seen horror movies about these monsters and things like that. They don't really exist in real life, because things like that, they just unsustainable in real life. They can't survive. And this ultimate killing machine, which is presented by some doomsayers, it won't be able to survive either in this world.
Okay, thank God. I could sleep tonight.
Yeah, good, 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 good.
And so, what is this whole thing about like quantum? Did you say something about like quantum AI?
So it's not like about quantum AI. It's
Oh,
about like quantum computations.
quantum
But
computation.
yeah. So quantum computations, it's let's say we have these conventional computers,
Right.
which and we have which are, well, let's say they are based on like classical physics. Not so much on quantum. They do exploit certain quantum effects, I suppose, on the very, very low level, like in matrices, but it's not used to speed up the computation like exponentially. What we think about when we mention like quantum computers is like this exponential speed up over the conventional computers. And this allows like to why is it important in general? So in mathematics and in computer science specifically, there are so-called like complexity classes, computational complexity classes of problems, and the idea behind those classes is that if you have some class which is describes very hard problem, it usually has this how do you describe it? It has an associated language, formal language, which is extremely expressive because it allows to express this powerful problem, and you can use this language to model real world and solve real world problems, but formally, rigidly, accurately. And what's the main idea behind this class is that if you have this solution for just one problem from this class, you have solutions for all the problems which fall into this class, like efficient solution, because you have this easy, and it's like in practice, you have this easy and ways to transform one problem of this class into another. And that's the crux of it. So quantum computers, they basically can solve one of these powerful classes of problems. That's why everyone is after them. If you build a quantum computer, it can solve one problem from this very hard class of problems, and you can solve all of them. And these problems, they are, it's they so it's so expressive. It can you can describe like as I said, like biological processes, physical processes, social processes, anything that is extremely complex, and you can describe it, and you can then optimize things like the different aspects of these processes, build new drugs, and I don't know, build new materials, things like that. And that's why everyone is after these quantum computers. But at the same time, even though this like classes are so powerful and so expressive, there is no, like, to this day, there is no mathematical proof for certain of the some of these classes that they can be solved efficiently using classical means. And now this is one of the like so-called millennium problems. It's like with the price of like $1 million for each. But now I'll say right away, we aren't trying to solve this. It's beyond our scope. We are just trying to create like what's practically possible and what's feasible right now. Yeah, but in general, just to set up like a stage, like there is this price, and there is this problem, and no one knows the solution. No one knows if the solution is even possible, or even if it's even possible to prove that it's impossible. No one knows anything about it. So, but what we believe and what we like see is that current solutions to these kind of problems aren't optimal yet. There are still ways to improve efficiency. And we are aiming to do just that.
I love it.
We are not trying to like build like quantum computers, which are a different topic. And I have like my opinion on that too, but although I'm not like, can't be considered an expert in this field. So,
But that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing at Satrix, right?
Not quantum computing, the classical approaches. Yeah, but I'm just explaining it using quantum computers. It's because it's a hot topic. It's kind of ironic, because what we do, it's which is logic and algorithms and things like that, mathematics. It's kind of ancient, but quantum computers they're relatively new, and everyone is talking about them because it's like a new child. But yeah,
fascinating, so fascinating. I think I'm so appreciative of this conversation. I'm learning a lot, and it's because it's so different from what I do with regard to people and communication. And, you know, we have these systems, AI systems, computations and computer, I mean, just really fast tracking how well we do things as humans, right? How well we're able to solve problems and these really challenging, complex problems, and that we have the leverage of the technology to do that. And so I really appreciate your expertise and your experiences digging into to using this, to learning this, to applying this to help society.
Yeah, that's basically the goal, because I mean, technology on its own, it's nothing. It's not just useless. It's really nothing, because unless there are people to use it, to benefit from it.
Yeah, and I agree. And I thank you so much. For now, I can sleep tonight because I'm not afraid of these AI robots taking over the world.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, you can definitely sleep for like tight for the next decade or several decades, because the current systems aren't there yet, and I haven't seen any fundamental progress which would allow anything like that to happen yet. There is a lot of like talks, there is a lot of hype about this field, but yeah, the there was a breakthrough like in these transformers and things like that, but which kind of showed that semantics can be modeled like efficiently using these systems, but beyond that, it's really like more like a lot of hype, nothing substantial.
Yeah, good. Well, I really appreciate it, Michael. So how would people get a hold of you? Where do they find you if they want some more experience or expertise from your company?
Well, they can. I'm usually like available through email. I always check it. It's you can write to CEO@Satrix.com. So Satrix is spelled as SAT as in Tom, RYX, Satrix.
Yep, perfect. And we'll have your email in the show notes too.
Yeah, thank you, Melinda.
Okay, thank you so much, Michael. It was such a great conversation and I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot and I appreciate your time.
I'm happy to be invited by you, and I really, it was really a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. And thank you, audience, for being here. I trust that you got your takeaway from today. And so continue to use and leverage technology however it serves you best so that you can have more deep relationships and be able to enjoy your life. And so until next time, I'm your sister in flow. May prosperity flow to you and through you onto others always. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye, Michael.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. Click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.